Perfect. So, as these talks have been done for just over 9 years, and they have become more of a learning and a conversation starter for many things. And if you want to look at previous talks, you can go back and look at pacetalks.com and find out what they are. So, without further delay, I would like to introduce the topic as well as our speakers for today. The topic is about nature, and as you can see, the science, the purpose, and practice of nature therapy. It is also called forest bathing, and Leslie and Dr. Sharma will share more about the why, the what, and how. If I had to introduce these two folks, I would say they are both nature lovers. They both know a lot about things from different angles. Leslie is a naturalist. She is involved herself in anything to do with nature, whether it is land conservation. She's a birder, she's a photographer, and she just loves nature and has done that. She was introduced to us through Richard Holland, who I see is in the audience, through Jennifer Gillard, who is at the hospital and a principal supporter of PACE Talks. And that is how Leslie got introduced to us. Dr. Sharma, or Anuja Sharma, is also my wife. She has been interested in nature and also likes to study things in great detail and has often shared with me. So when we were talking about this, I said, why the science behind this? She's a practicing internist who focuses on skin care. So this is their background, and they have thankfully volunteered their time and joined us, no, as we have shared in the past, but for those of you who are new, the speakers contribute their time. All of the supporters of PACE Talks, give their effort in kind. There is nobody who gets paid for this. There's no sponsorship, and there's no cost footprint for this. So, really a purist discussion. And as always, this is a discussion, this is a conversation starter. And I know one of you had sent me an email that could I raise a political issue? And I said, no, this is nothing to do with politics. So I know there are certain things in the community that we are trying to save and preserve. So, but we'll stay out of that. This is about the why, the how, and what about nature therapy. So over to you, Leslie and Anuja. And I know, Anuja, you're going to start. So again, thank you, and we'll let you speak, and then we'll have a Q&A after.
Well, thank you, Mukesh. It's a pleasure to be here. It seems like, based on the poll, we might be preaching to the wrong choir. You guys are already into nature. More than half of you have already done it. But if we can bring greater clarity and evidence for spending more time in nature, or to clarify how much time has been studied. So I'm just really happy to talk about this subject because nature is simple, it's beautiful, and it's surprisingly powerful. And I'm really delighted that Leslie has joined me in this session to share our enthusiasm to help you take greater advantage of this and recognize the power and purity of nature in improving not only our lives mentally and physically, but also this world. So I hope that we will inspire and inform you about the benefits of nature and what is it. So thank you for being here. I'm a doctor, as Mukesh said. I've practiced for over 3 decades, and I love medicine, and I also am passionate about nature and gardening and all of those things. Every day in my practice, I see the effects of stress build up and show up in our body as disease. So many times, people will show up with an exacerbation of psoriasis or eczema, or they present with high blood pressure and ulcers in their stomach, or heart attacks and strokes, which are often, if you tease out, stress plays a role in it. So, what, we've all been in nature and we've all felt a sense of calm and peace. But when we think about how we define nature, I think of a tree or the woods, but Oscar Wilde, in his Creative Wit, described nature as a place where a large number of ducks fly overhead uncooked. And I think there are times that it's muddy and it sometimes rains, and there might be a few ducks there too, but I want you to know that even a single tree, even looking out the window, even visualizing nature may have benefits. So let's talk about nature therapy. Now, the seeds of nature therapy as a science started as a public health initiative in Japan. So in the 80s, Japanese folks, so as you probably know, Japan is one of the few or the only countries I know where dying from overwork actually has a word. So it's called Jorushi, I believe, and people have been known to die from overwork. So I think the government and the public health were proactive. There was a study done which showed that people who spent 30 minutes in the forest lowered their stress levels. So how did they measure it? They measured the blood level of cortisol, which showed that it was 13% lower, even just after 30 minutes. So they started recommending this concept called forest bathing or Shinrin Yoku. And Leslie and I were chatting last week, and she asked an insightful question. How is nature therapy and Shinrin Yoku different? Or are they the same thing? Because what we don't want to do is to be misled into doing something when it may not be different. So yes, it's called Shinrin Yoku, it's called forest bathing, and we call it nature hike or nature exposure. The difference that I could discern was that Shinrin Yoku is basically immersion in the forest with all five senses. So if you could walk barefoot, touch the bark of the tree, drink the bark tea, and smell the aromatherapy and feel the sky, the light filtering through the leaves. That's considered forest bathing. So it's another way of being in nature, and it's more about immersing all five senses, being one with nature, which is a concept I really like, because we're not separate from nature, and I think that's why we feel so good when we are in nature. So let's talk about what benefits does nature bring us. And I want to focus on a couple of studies. So I want you to know that there are hundreds of studies done, and I want to focus on these two because I feel that many of us will do things because we know there is evidence that there is strong base of scientific data to do it. Others, many of us will do it because it feels good. And I know that when we go for a walk, I always like to know the name of a bird or the name of the tree or the constellation in the sky. But Mukesh is equally happy being in the woods, but he doesn't care as much about knowing the names or the data behind it. So if you are one of those who like doing it without evidence, great. If you want some evidence, here it is. So let's talk about its effect on our brain. So spending time in nature improves our creativity, it improves our focus, and our brain's ability to minimize disruption and distraction. So, in this world that's filled with distraction, 20 minutes in nature was compared to Ritalin in children between 6 and 14 years of age who have been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. And they found that treatment with nature walk worked just as well as Ritalin, which was compelling. Imagine a world where we didn't have to take medicine for it, but we could restore our ability to focus and do work without medication. So some really bright people have called this nature deficit disorder rather than attention deficit disorder, which I really like. The second study that I would like to share with you involves the measurement of a type of cell in our blood. So our body's immune system is made up of a few different types of cells, and this particular cell is called natural killer cell. So you can actually take the blood sample and measure its levels. Natural killer cells are also called NK cells, and they are basically our first line of defense against infection as well as cancer. So they're basically guardians of our body. They're constantly doing surveillance and identifying and fighting infection and cancer. So Dr. Ching Lee is a Japanese scientist who studied the blood level of natural killer cells in the blood of people after 2 days of spending time in the forest, with just a couple days of walking in the woods each day. He found that the level of this type of cell was 40% higher in people just after a couple of days in nature. And it wasn't that they came home and they slept in their city dwelling and their levels went back down to normal. The elevation persisted for a couple of days. Actually, a few weeks. And then he was so enamored by that idea that he took the room freshener or the car freshener with cedar oil. So the cedar oil was put in the humidifier rooms of these dozen adults who were just staying in a regular Motel 7 or Motel 8. And after a couple of days of sleeping with those rooms circulating that particular scent from the tree oil, they found that the level of the cell was 20% more. So I think for those who can't or who don't want to, that there is something good that it's doing, which really opened my eyes to the fact that nature oils, essential oils is not all foo-foo. Now, this is the last study I wanted to share because perception is reality. And this study was done in Toronto. So they took 30,000 people in Ontario and they questioned them about the feeling when they lived in one to another neighborhood. And they found that just 10 more trees in the block made them feel like they were earning 10,000 more a year and 7 years younger. Who needs Botox or fillers or plastic surgery? We can just feel healthier and better with nature. So I think that there are lots and lots of benefits of being in the woods. Forest is not a luxury, it's a biological necessity. It's an accessible resource right in our backyard. It gives us our creativity in the brain, our body, our heart. People have fewer heart attacks and strokes when they live in a forested area with over 30% green cover. And we have fewer floods and less global warming. There was one interesting study on awe where they found that people who looked at tall trees as opposed to tall buildings had more empathy and gratitude. So So I'm totally sold on it. I hope that I was able to convince you about this. And yes, we know that there are many reasons why it happens, but we don't totally understand the exact reason why the forest makes us feel good. And I just want you to know that the amount of time we spend in the forest that is recommended based on the studies is about 2 hours per week. So that's for optimal minimum benefit. But if you spend 5 hours a week, you're going to get incrementally more benefit. And beyond 5 hours, I don't think it was studied. So take time to pause, to breathe, to listen, and you belong. And with that, I will hand over to Leslie.
Thank you so much. And when I met with Anuja the first time to go over some of these facts and some of the benefits of being in nature that have been proven scientifically, I was absolutely fascinated. The information and the statistics about the natural killer cells and how they increase by up to 40, 50%. Just by being in nature for a few minutes for a couple of days, it's so compelling. And also the huge decreases in our cortisol levels, decreasing our stress levels, to see what I knew intuitively, but to see it spelled out scientifically was really, really empowering for me and also made me feel very hopeful because nature therapy is something that is so powerful, as we've seen even by those couple of studies. And it's also free. It doesn't cost anything. It's accessible to anybody. And especially, we have to say here in Northumberland County, where most people are listening from, we are blessed with a great deal of natural space in our county. So it's not too hard to find nature nearby us. I would like to thank you all for being here today and for your interest in this subject. My role today is to give you some ideas about how you can spend your time in nature, perhaps open up your eyes to some possibilities of things you hadn't thought of doing before. And this first question, let's go back to the previous slide. So this question, how do I integrate time in nature into my life? I saw on the survey that quite a few people said, I wish, when the question was, do you spend 30 minutes in nature a day? And people wrote, I wish. So the question is, we're all busy. How do we integrate time in nature into our lives? I ask myself this question every morning when I wake up because nature is extremely important to me. Just as a little bit of background, I grew up with both grandmas and grandpas, with big gardens, feeding the birds, taking me on nature walks. They taught that to my parents. I grew up with parents who took me always out into the woods every weekend, and we went camping and swimming. And now, as an adult, as you heard in my intro, I spend as much time outside as I can. I have a dog, which automatically gets you outside for walks in the morning. And I love nature photography. I'm part of the Northumberland Land Trust. I'm a volunteer. I look after a beautiful nature reserve and try to get people out into nature too through the land trust. I help to run educational outings for people about once a month so they can get out onto the nature reserves and get in to the forest and learn something about nature. So for me, nature is an extremely important part of my life. Also, this time of year, all the birds are coming back. And so when I walk in the morning, I'm really using my sense of hearing to see who is back and who is new. And it's so exciting to wake up every morning and have new friends that have been south all winter come back into my neighborhood. Sometimes they even sing from exactly the same tree that they were singing from in previous years. So that's really neat. I'll go on to the next slide. So let's start talking about some ways that if you feel like you need more nature in your life, which we all do, how you can make it part of your daily habits. Here's some ideas. If you're an early riser or you have to get up really early for work, take a little walk or even just sit outside in a blanket because it's still chilly with your tea or your coffee and listen. Right now, if you live near water, you'll be hearing the frogs calling. They're calling for mating time, and the birds are singing like crazy. Even if you get up in the middle of the night, you will probably hear birds. And the reason is because most birds migrate at night. And that's something that a lot of us, I didn't even know that till a few years ago. But you might hear, if you look up and listen, you might even hear in the middle of the night birds calling as they fly over you. I heard that at Northumberland Hills Hospital, there's a 1 kilometer track that goes around the building. Maybe at your workplace, you have a spot that you can go out and walk, or even just sit under a tree and take some time to breathe, to use your senses and just experience some time away from a screen, away from sitting, just staring at something that's like papers or a computer. And same thing in the evening. A lot of us will start watching television in the evening or something that's pretty non-nature based, but try a sunset walk to listen to the birds and frogs. Or just go sit outside on your deck for a few minutes or on your balcony in the evening. Let's go on to the next one. So we are in the habit of being very much in our heads. Sometimes we're thinking so much that we forget that we have bodies. I am also, as well as loving nature, I'm also a yoga teacher, and I've worked with a lot of people with meditation as well. And one of the things that we can do to remember that we have a body and to remember that there is a world around us and that there's air there and that we are alive, and not just all these thoughts going around in our head is breathing. Breathing exercises are a very easy way that you can become fully present, and it might be a great way to start your time in nature. We're going to practice it together now. If you are standing, that's fine. You can also be sitting, but let's just do a breathing exercise called sun breaths. We're going to start off by either softening your gaze, or if you're comfortable, you can close your eyes. And notice your breath moving in and out of your body. You might feel it more in your nostrils. You might feel your ribs moving. You might feel it more in your chest, but just notice where you can feel your breath. And in the next couple breaths, on your inhale, see if you can bring some more air into your body, filling up the lungs a bit more. We don't use our full lung capacity in our normal breathing. We don't need to, but let's see if we can make our breaths deeper on the inhale. And next time you exhale, see if you can slow it down a little bit. So full, deep inhales and slow exhales. And you can keep doing this, or if you'd like some movement, you can start to raise your arms up when you inhale and let them fall down when you exhale. Inhaling, arms up, and exhale down. And everybody's going to have their own rhythm of breath and movement. So just try this for a couple more rounds. And next time that your arms are down, let them rest on your legs or in a comfortable spot. And notice how you feel. And if your eyes are still closed or your gaze is soft, just go ahead and open your eyes back up again. So breathing can be a wonderful way to calm ourselves down, to reset and refocus ourselves. We can do it inside or outside, but it's a really nice thing to do when you are outside, because there are so you're breathing in the fresh air. If you're out in the forest, you're getting all that benefit as well, but it can be done in or out. Let's go on to the next slide. So this relates back to what Anuja was saying about forest bathing. When we are out in nature, focus on the most interesting senses to you. It's really hard to use all our senses at once. But maybe, for example, this morning when I was walking in the forest, I smelled a beautiful, sweet smell, and I didn't even know what it was. But finally, I looked up and I noticed that some of the trees way above me were in bloom. It was very early in the morning. It was very humid. And I've actually never smelled those trees before, but I got lucky this morning and was there right when they were releasing their beautiful aroma. So for me this morning, smell was very important. I have a friend who I walk with a lot, and she's an artist. And so the sense of sight, the visual cues that she's getting are most interesting to her. She's always noticing patterns, light, shapes. And so right now we are feeling the sun is stronger in the sky, and maybe you can start to feel the warmth of the sun on your face that we didn't feel in the middle of the winter. So when you're outside in nature, take time through your senses to experience it. This is more mindful. This is more present moment and can really help us notice what's around us. And again, like Anuja was saying, it doesn't matter so much if you hear a sound or a bird. It doesn't matter if you label it and say what it is. What really matters is that you hear it and that you notice it. All right, let's go on to the next slide. Thank you. I think this is my favorite slide: observation, curiosity, and joy. Once you start to notice things in your favorite forest or your favorite sitting bench, your favorite place, you start to clue in to the natural rhythms of nature, of the world. We all notice that it's much darker. We have less energy in the winter. This time of year, we're having more sunlight. Most people feel a lot more energy when it's like this. Once you start paying attention, you'll notice things like the cycles that are happening. For example, in the middle of winter, often, especially here in Canada, we think, oh, winter's never going to be over. But a friend of mine told me about crows and how crows start to migrate back as early as January and start their courtship routines. So even if it's a blizzard outside, once I knew about this, I thought, wow, the crows are coming back and they're flying in the air. They're calling to each other. They're courting each other and getting ready to nest a little bit later in the spring. Another thing that happens in my neighborhood, like clockwork, is that the cardinals, who are here and beautiful all year long and come to my feeders, but they start to sing to each other. Cardinals are real lovebirds. They feed each other. They have very intricate courtships. But the cardinals always start to sing on Valentine's Day, just like clockwork. February 14th, they start to sing to each other, the male and female. So when I hear that, it brings me such joy. And it's just because I've started to, over the years, notice that's when they start to sing. So even though it's February and it's the middle of winter, there's still hope for spring. More ways to be mindful in nature. Walking meditation. So this is different than going for a hike. If you are doing a walking meditation, you're walking very slowly and you're focusing on the sound, the feeling of your feet on the ground. If you're doing it in your backyard or somewhere where there's no sharp objects, you can do it with bare feet. And just paying attention to one step at a time and how that feels. It can be very, very calming and it really connects you up with nature. Another very simple thing to do to be out in nature is to find a safe, lovely sit spot. You may already have a spot in your neighborhood or in your yard or on a balcony where you feel safe and you feel really happy just being there. For me, my sit spot is a big log at the Lone Pine Marsh, which is the nature reserve that I look after for the land trust. I can sit there and I can look out over the marsh and I can watch all the action of the otters and the beavers and the ducks and geese and everything there. I like to go there at sunset when the nature's really moving around. But you may have a lovely sit spot right outside your house. I was actually during COVID part of a university study where they were studying how seniors felt mentally after sitting in the same sit spot every single day for 2 weeks. And I had to journal and talk to the researchers about it. And it was really nice to have that routine of finding a sit spot and doing that for 20 minutes every day. All right, let's carry on. And then take up a new hobby. Gardening, of course, is a huge way to be connected to nature, very grounding. Birding, hiking. If you don't have a dog, maybe you can walk dogs at the shelter. Nature photography is another thing. In the resource section, I have put links to some local gardening groups, to the Willow Beach Field Naturalists, and also the Northumberland Land Trust, who take people on hikes or walks and teach them about birds and butterflies and moths, all kinds of things about nature, trees. There is a group in Northumberland County called the Pine Ridge Hiking Club, and there is a link to that. The Northumberland Humane Society is the shelter in Cobourg, near Cobourg. And then for nature photography, I know that for me, I get very, very focused and very observant and mindful of nature when I'm doing photography. It really takes my mind off other things that I might be kind of worried about. And there's a really great nature photography group in Cobourg as well. And I've linked to that in the resources, which are available on the PACE website. And this is our time to say thank you so much. I want to thank Anuja for the teamwork today to put this together. I've learned a lot, and I wanted to thank all of you. It's been a pleasure to be with you. And we are here for any questions or comments that you may have.
Okay, so time for questions. And Anuja, if you can stop sharing the screen, we'll have everybody. There we go. Perfect, thank you. So put in your questions in the chat if you have any. And I'll start with some questions that had come about. So one is, there's something about walking in nature that you talked about. There's also some science about looking at the sun while walking, especially the morning sun. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? You know, there are folks, they say, you know, the sun and the energy enters through the retina. Is there science behind this or really not?
If I can take that question, as far as As far as I have come across, timing of being in nature may have an impact on sleep. So early morning, sunlight entering through the eyes can activate the pineal gland and melatonin levels. But in terms of looking at the sun or sun rays, I don't believe that there's harm, especially early in the morning or later in the evening, because otherwise you might worry about cataracts and damage to the lens. But as far as I have read, I didn't come across anything particularly negative or particularly positive about it.
And in similar vein, it was about morning air. There are folks who would say that morning air is different. Now, the Canadian, where we live, the air index, the air quality index is almost reported by the day rather than morning and afternoon and evening. Is there a difference? And Leslie, you had pointed out that when you went out, you could smell the bloom of the trees because it was humid and how do these things, or are we really splitting hair?
We know that any time in nature is good time. I mean, some people might think the morning air is cold right now. You know, the days have been very chilly in the morning and more pleasant to be outside in the afternoon. So I think it would be just comfort-wise, it might be more pleasant to go out when it's warmer. But that's personal preference. As far as benefits to morning versus evening, I don't have any studies on that. Do you, Anuja?
Yeah, thank you, Leslie. The only information I came across that may be related to it, but not directly, is the fact that near brooks and certain forested areas, there is greater negative ions in the air, which seem to have healthful benefits. But I think it's still being studied, it's still not proven, and it's I don't recall reading about morning air having greater number of negative ions, but maybe over the course of the day with pollution and others, maybe they do shrink. So it does feel fresh, and it's unclear whether it's because we are fresh and we're enjoying it more. But like to Leslie's point, I think when it's nice and warm in the evening too, I think nature is always refreshing and enjoyable.
Great. So the next question on chat is from Susan Walsh. In the process of preparing for this talk, did you come across any research related to grounding, both in nature and grounding mats use inside?
Do you know anything about it, Leslie?
Grounding mats, MATS.
Yeah, Susan, you can share what grounding mats are.
Basically, it's mats that get plugged into the electrical system so that you're getting the same effect of being externally when you're walking on the ground. But I don't know if there's anything to support that from an evidence perspective. They're
I don't.
widely available. If you were to Google grounding mats, you'll see them that they're out there.
Hey. You know, Susan, I think I know the answer. I think they want us to buy them. They clearly are something that, I haven't come across, and I've read a few books for this, and I had read one of them even before, and I've attended lectures even at the medical conference last year. There was a lecture on nature therapy, which was mostly about forest bathing, and there was a lot of evidence for nature therapy that was studied. I think the only extension of it that I can say that would be evidence-based would be walking barefoot to connect with the ground as a source of sensory input or integration of nature, or lying down on the rocks or grass to gaze at the clouds and again immerse yourself in nature. But as far as I know, there isn't any evidence I've come across, but I'm happy to research, and if I find something, I'll get back to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, next from Christine is just a thank you. And then from Carol and Bell Smith, the question is, Sunnybrook Hospital has ceiling lights that is a view of the forest in the CCICU and procedure rooms. It has a powerful effect for patients and family. Has NHH considered this? So Carolyn, I'll share with you when I moved to Coburg and joined NHH and I was given a tour, a person who was involved with the building of NHH shared with me how the hospital is designed. Every patient room has a window to look out. And this window looks out at nature. Even the central part, there's a big courtyard with trees and garden that has that effect. So that is clearly there that the people who built our hospital had nature in mind, but we don't have ceiling lights that share a view or, you know, simulate that. But a good thought, good thought. Anuja, go ahead.
Actually, if I can take that question, this is something that I did come across in my studies, and there was a clear difference that was favorable for people who had a hospital room after gallbladder surgery. So they divided the patients into groups, with one with like a city block view and another set of patients who after the surgery had a view of the trees and nature, and found that there was less pain medication use as well as earlier discharge for the patients who had rooms facing nature. So yeah, this has been evidence based.
There we go. Thank you. The next one is from Terry and Nancy Stops. I noticed the connection of today's examples to mindfulness / meditation, breathing focus. Do you think that the benefits are related?
Yes. Absolutely. Right.
Okay, that's a very...
If I went out in nature and was, and I have done this actually, if I was, if I went into nature and had my phone in front of me and was just looking at it, texting people about work stuff or something, I'm not really forest bathing. I'm outside, but I'm in my screen, right? So I think an important part of forest therapy, nature therapy, is to have that mindfulness, and there's many ways of doing it, but I think you do have to have a bit of mindfulness to take the full benefit from it.
Thank you. The next one is from Jennifer Darrell. The rehab and palliative care section at NHH also has that beautiful stained glass wall with the nature scene, very soothing. So it's a comment on how nice they had thought, nicely they had thought through that. So I have a question, like a fair amount of folks around here may be doing discussions or chats or socializations or meetings. Is there any study or any science that you guys came across that if brainstorming and thinking and, you know, meetings were done outdoors versus indoors in a room, that there was better thinking, better output, better decision making?
If I can take that question, I think I'd like to respond by saying that, like, nature has rhythms of day followed by night. I think our bodies and brains have rhythm that need rest and time for disconnection. When we are out in the nature sleeping, that's when we are rejuvenating, and that's what's bringing us back to our work in a more, you know, focused and creative and attentive way. And if we combine the two, I'm not sure if we are going to reap the benefits. And I know that for many of us, our work is worship and And it's very relaxing, but I do believe that immersion in nature cannot be done as a partial activity. I think we do need to consider immersing fully. And maybe there is research out there that I don't know about that shows benefit. But that's how I would process it.
I think, Carolyn, you were about to say something.
Yes, I think there is some. There are some studies on this. I actually studied this, and so showing that not just being in a state of mindfulness or meditation, you can achieve an altered level of consciousness in the forest that can't be achieved in the boardroom. Let's put it that way, and that allows, you know, some of our predictors like blood pressure and heart rate and all of those things to sort of come down a little bit, allows our minds to open up. I know the Institute of Noetic Science studies this kind of thing pretty extensively, so you might want to check there. Or the National Institutes of Health, I think I had to produce a few studies when I wrote a paper on it. But yeah, there is some evidence out there showing that any state of engagement from a place of relaxation results in, you know, more creative thinking, mindfulness to the task at hand as well. So.
Great. Okay, let's see. I don't see any more questions, and we still have a bit of time. Any other thoughts? Leslie, any thoughts? And then Anuja, any closing thoughts? And
I appreciate everybody's questions and your also your thoughtfulness in the questions, just trying to connect everything together. I think one message here that I'd really like to talk about is that there's no right or wrong way to do this. We've just given you some possibilities of different things that might interest you and compel you to spend some more time in nature. And often it's changing of habits. For example, instead of checking the news first thing in the morning, which does not start us off on a well, that may not start us off on a happy note. Go outside for 20 minutes instead of spending 20 minutes checking the news. Something as simple as that. Also, if you can do it, don't take your phone with you when you go out in nature, because if you have to, you have to. But if you don't have to, try to leave it home for 20 minutes and you might find that you're able to enjoy your time out a little bit more. And that's really my message.
Great. Yes, I share Leslie's spirit in saying that, you know, go enjoy your time, disconnect yourself, apply sunscreen, avoid the bug bites. And also, I think if we end early, take those 8-10 minutes to spend time in nature and get healthier and better. And let's all take full advantage of this powerful medical prescription to stay healthy and well, so we can take care of the people and the projects and purpose in our life.
Thank you. Anuja, could you share your, there you had mentioned something about Sparks RX.
Yes, so that's a prescription that we can register for as prescribers to give to our patients for mental health or other specific health concerns. And that prescription, we are allowed, I think, 10 year or so. And I was told that it may be on hold for the budgetary changes. I'm not sure, but it's a great website and a great resource. And I think Leslie has added it to the PDF of resources that she has very generously created. I'll have you take advantage of it and also look at the What Three Woods app that is going to keep you safe in the woods. Yeah, and as doctors, we can register for Parks RX as a prescriber. And when the patient gets the prescription, they can get access to provincial parks for a year, I believe.
Excellent. No, thank you. So I know where I am having my morning tea tomorrow outside. So thank you for taking the time. You put in a lot of effort and coordination. And Richard, thank you for introducing Leslie to us and connecting us with Jennifer Gillard. And stay tuned for the next month's PACE talk. And if you have ideas and thoughts, just email me that this is what you'd like to hear about, and go from there. And have a good night and take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you.
Thank you.